Amen. Thank y'all for that. Amen. Talia, you done excellent. Amen. Wasn't that good? I was thinking, as I said this morning in Sunday school, I taught Brother Allen's class this morning, and my children played a special out there with the cello, and my wife played the flute. Thank you. The flute. And my daughter played the piano. And I was thinking about, as I've been studying this week, about David and Saul. David played before Saul, and how that it just calmed that evil spirit, and how that instrumental music, not just instrumental music, just good music can really minister to the soul. And that's what you young ladies just did. You ministered to the soul. And so thank you for that. I know it's difficult to sing, and it's another level of difficulty to get up and play. And so I just want to say you've done a great job. Tally done a great job. And young ladies, you've done a great job. Toria, playing and singing, that's great. And so thank y'all for that song. We're going to get into the message tonight. We've been looking at the life of David. And let me do this. Every time I hear that song, I think about it, and I can't help it. I just want to read it to you, and then we'll get right into the message, okay? So I'm just going to read this to you. I wish I would have thought even before they sing to read it to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Thank God for the truth of that song. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Every time I hear that song, I think about that psalm. And it's a psalm of David, so how fitting as we look at the life of David. And that's what we started last week. We started looking at the life of David. And if you recall, last week we looked in verse number 1 of chapter number 16. And we looked at a phrase in verse number 1 where the Bible says at the end of that verse, it says, "For I have provided me a king among his sons." And as we saw last week, we saw how that God picked David, right? I read verses to you. Psalm 89:20 last week said, "I found David, my servant." Psalm 78, verse 70 says, "He chose David also." So we saw how that he was picked. David was chosen by God to be the king of Israel. And we saw that God picked David. Tonight, I want to see how God prepared David. You know, last week as I was preaching, I gave you 2 points, and I don't know if you remember them, but these were the 2 points last week. It was, God sees what we don't. Remember how that God saw in David what no one else saw. Not what David's dad saw, not what Samuel saw, not what David's brother Eliab and the others saw. God saw in David something that no one else saw. God said, "Man looketh on the outward," he said, "but I look on the heart." God sees what we don't. Just remember that tonight. God sees what we don't. And not only does God see what we don't, but God, His ways are better than ours. God's ways are better than ours. And we talked about how that Saul was the people's king, right? But David was God's king. And the people thought they knew what they wanted in the king, but God had a better plan. God's ways are better than our ways. It's so important that we remember that. I gave you the illustration of a GPS last week, how that sometimes it sees what we don't. It sees the traffic jams. It sees the accidents. It sees things that we can't see. And I talked about how that God, He sees what we don't see. And God's ways are better than our ways. And I want to kind of continue with that thought tonight. And I want to add a third point to it. And this is my point tonight of the message. God is working even when we don't see it. God is working even when we don't see it. I hope I can show you tonight from 1 Samuel chapter number 16 that God is at work in and through our lives even when we can't see it. Sometimes in life we can get to the place where we think that nothing is happening. Honestly, that's probably the way we feel most of the time. Now, I know many of you say, what are you talking about, Brother Dad? I feel like my life is crazy. Me too. How many of you feel like life's crazy? Yeah. But amongst the craziness, sometimes we can get this thought that God is not active. God is not working. We can get this thought that we're just kind of going through life. Where I use this analogy a lot of times. We feel like we're just spinning wheels. Or as Brother Brian says, ice skating up a mountain. You just feel like you're just going through the motions of life, and life is crazy and life is chaotic. And sometimes you probably wonder, there could be somebody here tonight that's wondering as I'm speaking, what's God doing? Where is God in my life? I go to church Sunday morning, I go to church Sunday night, I go to work Monday morning, I come home, I go through the routine of life, and I come back on Wednesday night, and I just feel like it's just the same old, and I feel like I'm just going through the motions, and I just feel like God is not working in my life. And you know, life can get like that. It can get to the place where it just feels like, where's God? Is God working in my life? Is God doing anything in my life? Maybe I'm the only one that ever feels that way. You're kind of looking at me like maybe I am. I don't know. But sometimes, if I'm honest with you, I just kind of get into the rut of life, and I just sometimes wonder, where's God at in my life? When I got saved, things were exciting. God was working. God was moving. God was changing me, and God was changing my circumstances. But after a while of this thing called the Christian life, if we're not careful, we just kind of get into the rut called life, and we think God's not doing anything in my life. And I want to remind you tonight, God is. God is always active. God is always working. Our God never sleeps nor slumbers. God is always doing things in our lives. And as I said, there could be some here tonight that say, God's not working in my life. Can I tell you, God is working in your life. You say, well, Brother David, or you wouldn't call me brother if you're not saved. But you say, well, I'm not saved. God's not working in my life. If you're not saved, God is really working in your life. God is working in your life to bring you to the place of salvation. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that all men be saved. That's the will of God. I preached a series of messages sometime back on the will of God. And the will of God is for men to be saved. That's God's will for man, is to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. So if you're not saved tonight, you say, God's not working in my life. Oh, He is. God is working in your life every day, trying to get you, bring you to the place of salvation. God is using the circumstances of your life. God is using the situations of your life to bring you to a place of salvation. That's God's will, is for men to be saved. You say, well, I am saved. Is God working in my life? Yes, God is working in your life. If you're saved, let me give you a couple of verses of scripture. Philippians 1:6 said, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I did not get her name. Who got saved this morning?
Megan.
Megan, this morning, God did a good work in you. And God is going to fulfill that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, God was working in Megan's life before this morning to bring her to that place of salvation. And now God is working in Megan's life to fulfill his will for her life, to finish the work that he's began in her life, just as he began in my life, October the 16th, 2005. And that work is that God is going to finish that work. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in and through my life to fulfill his will in my life. And he's doing it in your life. Romans 8:28, Brother Don, you always think, I can't read Romans 8:28 without thinking of Brother Don. It's still in the book. So Brother Don always reminds me, it's still there. Romans 8:28 says this, it says, and we know. Are you listening? This is something we know. It's not something we think. It's not something we guess. It's something we know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, God is working in your life and God is working in my life to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's God's will for my life. That's God's will for your life. And sometimes as we go through life, we'll begin to think, God's not working in my life. Oh, God is working in your life. God is working even when we don't see it. I hope you, if you don't get anything I preach tonight, I hope you get that truth. God is at work even when we don't see it. I've got to be reminded of that. So many times in my Christian life, I need to be reminded, God is working. God is working all things together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. See, God has called me to his purpose and his will. And God is using the things in my life to bring me to that place. And God is using the things in my life to conform me, to mold me, to make me into the image of Jesus Christ. And he's doing it in your life too. And we can be confident that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is going to continue working in your life till he takes you home. Because God always works, even when we don't see it. All the way up to the very end, God is working. God is an active God. God is always at work in our lives. And see, I think we see this in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And I want to point out a couple of ways that God is working in David's life, even when I believe David didn't see it. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we read the Bible like boom, 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 boom. And that's not the way it happens. I don't know the exact timeline of all these events, but I know that there's a period of time between some of these verses that we read. Now, some of them are all in one setting, but then there's some that are there's seasons of life between them. And you've got to understand when you read the Bible that it's real life. God has just given us a little portion, a little glimpse into the lives of these people. But these people's lives are going on every day. All we're seeing are the high points. And sometimes maybe I'm the one that needs this tonight. Sometimes we get so fixated on the high points. Can I tell you, October the 16th, 2005 was a high point in my life. I got saved. I start throwing dates out here, I'm going to get myself in trouble. My wife's up here smiling. January the 26th, 2008. Mariah's got her eyes. She see, I'm on this thing. Was a great day. It was a high point in my life. It's the day I got married. What's today? August the 24th, 2011. No, I just asked on the way to church. Good night. Let me do my math. It's 11 years. So 14, August the 24th, 2014 was a high point in my life. Because 11 years ago, Lydia was born. And God blessed us with that child. Happy birthday, Lydia. And see, sometimes if we're not careful, we forget that God's working even in the regular days of life. See, we're just seeing in 1 Samuel 16 and 17 when David defeats Goliath, and as we read through the life of David, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see October the 16th. We're going to see January 26th. We're going to see August 24th. We're going to see some of the high points in the life of King David. We're going to even see some of the low points in the life of King David. I think about this past November when I got a phone call that I lost my brother. Low point. A low point in life. You see, we focus on the highs and the lows of life. But God's working every day of your life. God's working when we don't see God working. God's always at work. And God's at work in David's life. And I want to show you a couple ways and a couple things that God's working through in David's life that I think God works through in our lives. Number one, God works through his relationships. You know, this should be obvious, but if we're not careful, we'll overlook the relationships that God uses in our lives. I want to point out two to you in particular out of chapter number 16. The first one, the first relationship I see is David as a son. Look at verse number one. It says, he provided me a king among his sons. Verse number five, it says that he sanctified Jesse and his sons. Verse 10, again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord had not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest son. It's not there, but it's there. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, that youngest son, for we will not set down till he come hither. And if we read over in verse number 18, it says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Verse number 19, it says, send me David thy son. Verse 20, it says, at the end of that verse, sent them by David his son. Over and over, the phrase son is used when talking about David. I actually looked it up, and if my numbers are correct, there is 20 times in the Bible where David is called the son of Jesse. Now, there's one time in chapter number 17 where he calls him Jesse's son. I'm not even counting that one. I'm talking about where it literally says David, comma, the son of Jesse. You see, the Bible wants us to know, God wants us to know that David was a son. And if we're not careful, we'll overlook that. We'll think, well, that's no big deal. I'm a son. You're a son if you're a man. Okay? And if you're a woman, you're not a son. I know we shouldn't have to say that, but we got to state all the obvious things these days, right? It should be obvious that relationships affect our lives. It should be obvious that I'm a son and my wife's a daughter, but it's not, okay? Well, it is, but anyway, hey, listen, you say, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. God used David being a son to get David to where he wanted in his life. You see, as I've already said, there's no doubt that David learned a lot of things being a son. I know one thing he learned was authority. Obedience. If you read in chapter 16, you know what happens? Look at verse number 12. It says he sent. You know who sent? Jesse. He sent, and then it says, and brought him in. A servant went out and said, hey, David, your dad wants you back at the house. Yes, sir. See, David understood what authority was. David understood what obedience was. Look at verse number 20. It says, and Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. He said, David, go. Here, take these with you when you go. And David went. Look at chapter 17 and verse number 17. It says, in verse number 17 of chapter 17, it says, Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah, this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. I'm going to skip down in verse number 20. It says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went, look, as Jesse had commanded him. David did what he was told to do. You know how David learned that? as a son. David learned what it was to have authority in his life. David learned what it was to be obedient as a son. And so there's some sons here tonight. There's some daughters here tonight. There's some children here tonight. And you say, God's not working in my life. Oh, God's working in your life. God is using this stage and this phase of your life to teach you obedience, to teach you authority, to teach you how to follow instruction and how to learn. And God is using the everyday things of our lives, of being a child, of being a son, of being a daughter. He's working through those things in our lives. Not only did he work as David being a son, he worked through David as being a sibling. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 16. Again, Jesse made his 7 sons to pass before Samuel. And he asked, is all your children here? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest. So David is the youngest of 8 boys. You think he learned anything from that? Do we got any youngest of boys in here? Tucker? Is Tucker in here? Logan? Yeah. Sawyer? I seen his hand go up, right? The youngest of, okay, I see you back there. Caleb? I can't see you. I kind of seen your hand. I'm having to look. But there's some youngest boys in here that's got some older brothers. Can I tell you, you learn something when you're the youngest boy? Really, you learn something when you're just a sibling in general, right? So if we're not careful, we'll look over the fact that David was not just a son. He was a sibling. And God used that in David's life. I'm confident that God used that. Hey, let me tell you something. David didn't just have brothers. He had 2 sisters. Did you know that? 1 Chronicles, you can look it up when you get home tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 mention David's sisters. I think one of his name's Abigail. I can't remember the other one's name, but you look them up. He had 2 sisters. I know this. One of his sisters had 3 boys, and I wrote down their names here. Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. I don't know if that's how you say that last one's name. But listen, if you don't know who they are, you'll find out later, okay? Just stick around. David made this statement about them, about those boys, Joab and his brothers. He said, they're too hard for me. And David was a bloody man. I mean, David is known as a bloody man, right? That's why he couldn't build Solomon had to build the temple, because God said, David, you're a bloody man. And David, being the bloody man that he was, we're talking about the man that slew Goliath, he said, them boys, they're too hard for me, man. That's his sister's boys. So I don't know what she was like. But I'm just trying to say that David had some siblings, and one of his sisters had some boys that was too hard for him, right? Some of y'all thinking, I feel his pain. I got a sibling that's got some kids that's a little too hard for me too, right? No doubt God used this in David's life. Being the youngest boy, I'd say it made him tough. I say a lot of times, these youngest, they get picked on, but y'all better watch out when they get big, is all I can tell you. That youngest, he grows up, and he's usually pretty tough, okay? We wonder why David was such a warrior. Well, he had 7 older brothers, right? And 2 older sisters. That might be the reason. Made him tough, physically and mentally. I mean, we see over in chapter 17, Eliab said, I know what you're down here for. I know your heart. I know how you are, David. You come down here. Jesse sent David down there to do a job, and Eliab said, what you doing down here? I know what you're down here for. Right? David probably been ridiculed his whole life, picked on, made fun of, criticized. I see these siblings smiling right now. They thinking, yeah, I guarantee it. That's how I do mine. Or that's how they do me, right? Made David tough, made him physically tough, mentally tough, being picked on and criticized. He learned what it was to share. He learned what it was not to be the center of attention. We're talking about a man that's going to be the king of Israel. But David knew what it was like not to be the center of attention. Saul, we saw last week, King Saul, he wanted to be the center of attention. He wanted it to be all about him, all about Saul. David wasn't that way. Now, I know David had his failures, and I mentioned that last week, and we'll continue to mention that. David was not a perfect man, but I'm just telling you, God used David. And God used some things in David's life to get David where he wanted him to be. And one of them was being a sibling. He knew what it was to share. He knew what it was to not get all the attention. I mean, they called his brothers in and left him out in the field. How do you think that made David feel? He was used to that. Right? Some of you are feeling my pain. Some of you just want to lay down on a couch right now and start getting counseling, right? Some of you youngest siblings is like, man, I feel David. God, I'm just like David, right? Can I tell you, God's working in it? God is working in it. God uses the relationships of our life. Can I ask you, what relationship has God used in your life? We could preach an entire message, and I'm not going to, just on that alone, the relationships, the people that God has placed in our lives to get us to where we are today. God uses relationships. He used them in David's life, and he uses them in your life. There's people in your life right now, God's using them. Number one, he used his relationships. Number two, he used his responsibilities. Everyday activities, his chores, his job. Look at verse number 11. It says that Samuel said unto Jesse, are all thy children here? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and he keepeth the sheep. He's out with the sheep. That's his job. That's his chore, so to speak. That's what he has to do. He keeps the sheep. The Bible tells us over and over that David is with the sheep. Look at verse number 19. It says, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, look at it, which is with the sheep. And you know, to us, we know the Bible, and so I'm trying to get you to understand. Sometimes I'm talking about the highs and the lows of life, and we know Psalm 23, and we know about Psalm 23 and how that David, that those years as a shepherd helped David to write that wonderful psalm called Psalm 23. But can I tell you, when David was out in the field being a shepherd day in and day out, that's not the high point. That's not the October the 16th. That's not the January the 26th. That's just the everyday life. Day in and day out, David's out there keeping the sheep. Day in and day out, David's out there protecting those sheep. Day in and day out, David is out there guiding that flock to beside the still waters and to the green grass. And David is just doing what he does. He's being a shepherd. Let's bring it up to today. Maybe it's cutting grass. Maybe it's using a paintbrush. Maybe it's sitting at a desk. Maybe it's changing diapers. Maybe it's cleaning houses. Maybe it's driving a truck. I don't know what it is that you do, but can I tell you, whatever you do, God's using it. God's working through that. God's working in that. And if we're not careful, we won't realize that. We'll think, God's not doing nothing in my life. No, God's always doing something in your life. God is always working in our lives, even when we don't see it. David didn't know it when he was out there keeping those sheep what God was doing, but God was making David into that shepherd of all those people. One day David was going to be the shepherd of Israel. One day he was going to keep God's flock, but he started out keeping Jesse's flock. And God just works through the responsibilities of life. I'm sure David learned keeping those sheep about character. Their time wouldn't allow for me to describe all that David learned out there being a shepherd. But David obviously learned about keeping sheep. David learned character. David learned courage. David learned responsibility. He learned organization. No doubt he learned time management. He learned hard work. He learned what it was to be self-motivated. David just learned some things out there in that wilderness with those sheep that he couldn't learn anywhere else. God was using that in David's life. His responsibilities as a shepherd. Not only that, his responsibility as a servant. Look at chapter 16, look at verse number 14. The Bible says, the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now an evil spirit from God troubled thee. I'm not going to read down. I want to skip down for sake of time. In verse number 19, we see where Saul sent messengers and said, send me David. And verse number 21, it says, and David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent unto Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And David stayed there at the temple, and he played the harp. And I believe he sang songs. Man, he's the sweet psalmist of Israel. That's what 2 Samuel calls him. And so David was, his responsibility as a shepherd, God was using that in his life. And then David got you could say, promoted from being a shepherd to being a servant at the palace. Well, they didn't have a palace at that time, at the tent. But the king's tent. David became a servant to the king. And no doubt God was using that in David's life. I don't even know. There's some debate about whether David knew if Samuel whispered in his ear. I definitely don't think Eliab knew, or he wouldn't have been telling David, I know why you're down here. I don't believe Eliab knew that David was going to be the king. I personally believe maybe David did, but I don't know. Samuel just could have anointed him. He could have thought it could have been for a priestly. I mean, it could have been for many things. I believe he knew he was going to be king. But either way, I'm just telling you this. David, God used that time as a servant. I know Saul didn't know it. Because if he did, he would have killed him immediately. And so David, here he is. God has put David right smack in front of the king as a servant. And God is using that job to get David where he wants him. And can I just tell you tonight, God is using your job. God is using the responsibilities of your life. And God is using the responsibilities of my life to get us where he wants us to be. That's what God does. God is always working, even when we don't see it. David, God gave him inside access to the life of a king. Number three, and I'll be finished. We see God used his relationships. Number two, God used his responsibilities. Number three, God used his reputation. Look at verse number 18. We get a glimpse of how other people viewed David. Look at verse number 18. It says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. So God used the relationships in David's life as a son and as a sibling. God used the responsibilities in David's life as a shepherd and as a servant. But can I tell you, God used David's reputation to get him where he wanted him to be. How David was known by others. Can I ask you a question tonight? How are you known by others? See, God will use our reputation, the way that people see us, to get us to the place that he wants us. You know what people saw about David? Number one, he was skilled. He said he is cunning at playing. You know what we saw tonight? We saw someone that is cunning at playing. I probably should have looked up cunning before I said that. No, I'm confident it means good. He was skillful at playing. And God used that skill in David's life. And David was not only skillful in song, but David was skillful with a sling. He was a mighty man of war. He was a valiant man. Now, there's some argument. I don't get into it for sake of time tonight about when this event happened. I know what I believe. I believe it happened before slaying Goliath. I believe David just had a reputation out there in the fields. You know, the Philistines wasn't far from Bethlehem, and they were always probably trying to come in and steal those sheep and do different things. And David had to fight off those thieves, and David had to fight off those lions, and David had to fight off those bears, and David had gotten a reputation evidently in the community as a mighty man of valor. Somebody you don't want to mess with. I mean, we're talking about the guy that records to Saul, King Saul in chapter 17, a lion came and I slew him, a bear came and I slew him, and I'm going to slay this Philistine, right? I'm going to slay this Philistine. And so David had a reputation to be skillful in song. He had a reputation to be skillful with a sling. David had a reputation. He was skillful in many different ways in his life. And he was just known. He was skillful in speech. Look at verse number 18. It says that he was prudent in matters. You know what that means? That means David knew how to handle himself. He was wise. He spoke well. David was known as being skilled. And God used his skill to get him where he wanted him. Can I just remind you tonight, hey, God's using the skills that he's given you to get you where he wants you tonight. Whether your skill is to sing, I don't got that skill. Wish I did, I'm a little envious. Whether your skill is to play, whether your skill is to write, to build, to create, to administrate. Whatever skill God has given you, God has given you a skill. You know, if you're saved, God's given you a gift, a skill to profit with all. And whatever skill that God has given you, and you've got skills tonight, God gave those skills to you to make you and to mold you into the person that He wants you to be. God wants to use the talents and the abilities that He's given you and that He's given me to get us to the place He wants us to be. See, God's always working in our lives. And God used the skills in David's life. He was skillful. He had a reputation as being skilled. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever talent God has given you, use it for God's glory. Whatever ability God's given you, use it for God's glory. As I said, there's men in this room that can build. I can't build anything. I mean, I'm sure if somebody taught me, I'm like, I could build like a Lego house or something, but build a deck, I could probably build it, but you might not want to stand on it or near the edge, right? But God's given some of you the ability to build. You know what you ought to do? Build for God. God's given you the ability to organize. Organize for God. God's given you any ability. Use that ability for God. See, David had a skill, and God used that skill in his life. So we see his reputation. He was skilled. And then last, and this is the most important, not only was David's reputation, he was skilled. David's reputation was he was spiritual. Look at verse 18. The end of the verse, it says, and the Lord is with him. That's certain in there. Pastor always mentions in Genesis where it says he created the stars also. And he's like, it just throws it in there like that's not a big deal. You know, like billions and billions of stars. And the Bible just says, oh, yeah, he created the stars also. Oh, yeah, the Lord was with him. Can I tell you, that's a big deal. David was spiritual. He was known as a man. People looked at David, this guy, this servant, I don't know who he is, but he told Saul, he said, hey, I know a guy. He's cunning in playing. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a man of war. He's prudent in matters. He's smart and he can speak well. Oh, yeah, and by the way, the Lord's with him. He's spiritual. See, God uses those things in our lives. God uses our relationships. God uses our responsibilities. God uses our reputation to get us where he wants us to be. God is working when we don't see it. God is working in the everyday mess. Can I call it a mess? Called life. Just remember when you get up tomorrow. Brother Tracy, if you got that first picture, I want you to put that up there. I got permission from my birthday girl to do this. Wyatt, you recognize that? I got it up there so y'all could see it. Wyatt saw that sitting at my dining room table, and this was his response. And don't feel bad, Wyatt. There's many of them right now that feel the same way. What is that? That's literally what Wyatt said. Was it? Am I correct? What is that? Poor Wyatt. Why, it's like, I was not feeling well this morning. Now I'm not feeling well tonight. But what was that? What is that? You know, it looks like a mess. But flip it around, if you would, Tracy. For those of you that can't see it, it's a book. It's very creative. I was talking about somebody being creative. Use your gifts, your abilities. Lydia's very creative. That's a book, the blue down the middle. It's a book laid open. Leah loves to read. And so Lydia, for her birthday, made a bookmark. And it says, Happy 16th Birthday, Leah. And so that was a gift from Lydia to Leah for her birthday. And we laughed because Wyatt was sitting there at the table, and some other girls here were there, but Wyatt was sitting there at the table, and he said, what is that? And Meredith about fell on the floor laughing because she knew it was Lydia's gift that she had worked hours. She spent so much time making. And then when it got flipped around and Wyatt saw what it was, he said, oh, Wow, that's neat. Let me see that. That's so nice. That's, you know, you've been there, right? Yeah. That's wow. That's really, you know. But I thought about that, and I thought about this message. You know, if we're not careful, everyday life, can you flip it back around? Looks like that. It's like a mess. It's like, what in the world is going on in my life? Get up, go to work, come home, cook dinner, clean house, pay bills, go back to work, get up, go home, you know, raise children, wash clothes, fold clothes, go to church, do this, do that. My life is a mess. Flip it back around. Remember last week? God sees what we don't. God sees what we don't. And God has taken that thing that you think is a mess, that thing called life, every day, the mundane, the just the routine that just seems like it's just like, you know, you're just going through the motions. God takes the mess, and God makes something great out of it. And that's what God is doing in David's life. God's taken that mess called life. I'm sure there was times when David was out there keeping those sheep, or when David was being picked on by his siblings, or David was being forgotten about by his father, right? Or he was serving, playing music for old crazy Saul and getting javelins thrown at him. David was probably thinking, man, life, my life is crazy. What is God doing? God is making a king out of you, David. God is doing something great in your life. God is working even when you don't see it. And so I just want to remind you tonight as we close this message, every single day when you wake up, be confident. Be confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is always working. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't think he is, God is at work. Because all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, those whom he called, he foreordained, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. I'm not going to get into the theological teaching of that. I'm just telling you this. When you get saved, God's plan is to conform you into the image of Christ. It's that simple, and he's going to do it through the everyday things of life, not through the high points and the low points, through every day, every single day. God's working when we don't see it. You can stand to your feet and bow your heads and close your eyes. And thank you, Lydia, for allowing me to use that illustration. When I asked the pianist to play, and I just want to remind you tonight, that's just really, I pray to God that God would somehow just help somebody tonight that's struggling, going through the motions and just feel like, man, I just feel like I'm just not getting anywhere. I feel like I'm just stuck in the mud. I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels, and I just feel like God is not working and God is not active. Can I just remind you tonight, God's working.